This morning, I'll try to preach fast, you listen fast. I guess we don't have to be in a big rush anyway, but this is a familiar text for us. I love it. I prayed about it. I wanted to preach on something else this morning. I didn't have any peace about it. I thought I was working on my Sunday night outline, but it's the Sunday morning outline. I'm sure there's a reason for that. 1 Chronicles chapter 4, verse 9. The Bible says, "And Jabez was more honorable than his brethren, and his mother called his name Jabez, saying, Because I have bear him with sorrow. And Jabez called on God of Israel, on thee God of Israel, saying, Oh, that thou wouldest bless me indeed, and enlarge my coast, and that thine hand might be with me, and that thou wouldest keep me from evil, that it may not grieve me. And God granted him that which he requested." Heavenly Father, we thank you for Ralph's testimony this morning, Lord. Thank you that you're working in his heart, and I just pray for all of us, God, that you would deal with our hearts, Lord. Help us not to be so hard-hearted and so indifferent and cold towards things that concern you, and have deaf ears to when you do speak to us, Lord. Help us to be doers of the word, not hearers only, and commit this message to you. Ask for blessings upon it, and ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. The book of Chronicles, I don't know how you guys read your Bible. I do a couple things. Of course, I study to preach, and then I read, chronologically, chapter by chapter that way. And some of that's not chronological, but, I read Psalms, and then, prepping to preach and things like that. But, certain places, Leviticus or Chronicles, we have the genealogies of the patriarchs of the 12 sons of Israel there. And you know how it goes. It's got a list of names, and so-and-so begat so-and-so, and that so-and-so begat a couple more so-and-sos, and those two so-and-sos begat some more so-and-sos. And I'm not saying it that way to belittle the names, because God saw fit to record the names in the Bible. And sometimes, the longer I've studied the Bible, and you as well, sometimes you see a name, you say, okay, yeah, I know that guy right there. I recognize the name. And some of them you don't know. But it pretty much right in the middle of this whole list of who's begatting who, we see this man, Jabez, pops up. And then it has a little commentary. It's kind of a parenthesis there. It says something about Jabez. Said he was more honorable than his brethren, and then it talks about why his mama named him Jabez. Said because he was bore with sorrow, and then it said that he called upon the God of Israel. In other words, that he prayed, and we don't know. The only thing that we know about this, I was thinking about why was Jabez more honorable than his brothers. It said it. And the only thing that we connect it to is the fact that he prayed. It didn't say that a lot about all the other people or most of the other people that it listed in the order and their chronology there, or genealogy. But when you get to Jabez, it says that he prayed. And so, and even more important than the fact that it mentions his prayer, not only does it say that it prayed, but it says, it even names or lists the prayer. It states the prayer. It's not a real long prayer. It's pretty concise, to the point. I mean, it's just a short little prayer, but God saw fit to record that prayer in his word. And I think we can learn a couple things and by way of introduction. And one of them is that God puts a premium on prayer. Harold, we've had Harold here all week. Of course, he has prayer advances. He understands the fact or the premium that God puts on prayer. We saw some prayers answered this week. Some of them pretty fast, huh, Randy? Prayed one night, had the prayer answered the next morning. I mean, that's even in a situation that seemed impossible. And so, listen, I want you to, if you don't get anything else out of this, get this right here. That not only does God honor prayer, as he did here, but he is honored by prayer. God is honored by prayer. When we pray, I mean, we are saying that Lord, we have faith in you. We trust you. I mean, you can't pray without faith. And I think that's why there's so little actual prayer or a little actual praying that we do a lot of times, because we really don't have the faith in God that we should have, that God can answer and does answer prayer. So God is honored by our prayers, and he honors those who pray. So I think we need to get serious about it. I've last a few years ago, I really got a burden for the men the men in Christianity, the men of our church, trying to teach and talk to men and point the way, lead the way about the men, you know, leading your family in prayer. Listen, you know, we're so, somebody's got to take the initiative, and the way God lined it up or designed it is the men would do it. And I think that's an important thing. And praying with your wife. I tell my wife, I wouldn't let my wife go out of the house without praying for her, especially in the world we live in today. I pray with my wife. I pray with my kids. I pray with my grandkids, my son-in-law. We get together and we pray and always pray. I pray for you all, and you don't know how often that happens by name a lot of times as circumstances dictate. You're lifted up in prayer. And so I think it's an important, and particularly for the men to lead their families that way. And God recognized that fact that Jabez prayed and said he was more honorable than his brethren. I mean, he put honor upon that right there. The Bible says that he bore his mother bore him in sorrows, and his name roughly means pain or causes pain. That's not a great name. How many of y'all know that I married a pain? Did y'all know that? I did. Her name was Payne, Sherry Ann Payne. I married a Payne. And then her name got changed to my name. What a blessing. Huh? What a blessing. I mean, her name went from being Payne to Boone. I mean, you know, it's just a blessing right there. I mean, it's the truth. It wasn't spelled P-A-I-N, P-A-Y-N-E, but I married a Payne. But her name was changed. But I want to say something here. God actually, He didn't change Jabez's name, but he changed Jabez's legacy and his destiny and those things. And so in a sense, his name meant something else to his mother later on down the road. He was more honorable than his brethren. And I'm sure Mom recognized that as well. But, you know, out of sorrow, and it tells us out of sorrow can come joy. She had an honorable son. He called on God. You know, listen, pain and sorrow, it's not forever. You know that when there's a storm going on, the sun's still shining? You know, it's still shining on the other side of the cow, Brother Darren, that's right. Huh? The sun's still shining when the storm's going on in your life, brother. It just is, and we can't see it, but when the clouds go, the sun's right there where it's always been. You know, and at the end of the storm, a lot of times we have a rainbow, don't we? Sometimes, you know, you can really, you know, when you're in a very dark place, a small little match is a pretty bright thing. You know, it's just, you got to be in a dark place sometimes to see the light. That's just the way it is. And so Jabez learned that, and probably his mother learned it as well. But I just want to talk to you about his prayer just a little bit. That was all by way of introduction. He had four things that he prayed for, and I like this. And the Bible says that God granted his request. God granted his request. I mean, that God heard it. He honored it. He granted his request. The very first thing he said is that he prayed for blessings. Now, that's a good thing. Sometimes it's a general term. But, you know, he didn't stop. He didn't just say for bless me. When he asked for blessings, he also went and named for some specific blessings that he liked to have. But, you know, when you think about, Lord, you know, I want blessings. Well, everybody would probably say, well, what is a blessing? You know, what's a blessing? Well, it's a big list. It could be a lot of things. Sometimes people think in our mind, maybe even our secular mind, and maybe even in our Christian mind, but when we secular, I meant before we got saved, and even as Christians, we think, well, you know, what about wealth? Man, I tell you what, I see these sports guys, I mean, they get in contract for $98 million. I'm thinking, man, I would do it for half of the money. I would, huh? I would do it for half of that. 90, you know, what do you, what, boy, mind's rolling. You know, what would you do? You think wealth. And a lot of times we think that if I had a certain amount of money, maybe you just put a fixed place on it. You know, I'd be blessed right there. But someone wrote this. If we see how much a man has, we might envy him. But if we could see how little he enjoys, we might pity him. You know, just having a whole lot of things. Most people I know that have a lot of stuff, they so busy they never can. They never can. I know, Brother Darren, you said you work at Yokohama. We got another young fellow working at Yokohama. I remember I worked down there at Yokohama. I did some work in the place. And I remember, man, them guys worked all the time. They made good money, man. They all had bass boats and big trucks and all that. But the problem was every time you went to Yokohama, where were they? They weren't on the bass boat. They was in Yokohama working on tire. They was in there working all the time. They had it, but they couldn't use it. I mean, they're all just sitting there parked in the garage. If you want a real nice boat that hadn't hardly been used, buy it from somebody that worked at Yokohama. They can't ride on it. They got a good job. I remember seeing that. And so we don't always have that. So, Charles Spurgeon said of the wealthy, he said, holidays, he may have as many as he pleases. But for him, recreation has lost all its charm. Yeah, the wealthy probably doesn't have to do anything. So a holiday doesn't mean anything. It's not a special day. Sometimes people think fame is a blessing. I don't know. I think most of the people you find that have a lot of fame, actually fame, it ends up being a curse because they just can't trot down to the stop in and get a cup of coffee, go around and shop outside because too many people would intrude on their life, sit at a restaurant. They can't do those things right there. But just think about it. Supposing we did some things. Say we built great buildings and we were famous and we had statues erected for us and books written, our names carved in stone. Think, there's buildings. You go around buildings and they get named after somebody because they did something. I know it popped in my mind earlier when I was thinking about that point. Down in Roanoke, they have a building. And if you know the answer to this, don't give me a history lesson right here. But there's a building there. It's called the Poff Building, P-O-F-F, Poff Building. I don't know who is that. It must have been somebody worthy of having a building named after him. I don't know his first name. I don't know a thing he did. It might not even be a guy. It might be a girl. I don't know. I don't know anything about him. You know why? Because they're probably, if they're not, or they will be, they'll be dead and gone. We don't know anything. There's buildings that are erected all over that named after somebody. It's okay. I'm not saying it's wrong, but it doesn't. What about eternity? It doesn't mean anything in light of eternity. You can have your name carved in stone. But what does it mean if your name's not written in the Lamb's Book of Life? So fame is kind of a fleeting thing. And we don't know. The only thing about Jabez is we know that he prayed. And God thought enough of that to honor him by putting the fact that he prayed. Not only prayed, that he put the prayer in the Word of God right there. And so it's recorded. Another blessing we think about is health. And I tell you what, I thank God for my health. I'm pretty healthy. I'm like, Ralph, I got one on you. I'm 63. I got one on you there, buddy. When you get up in the morning, boy, yesterday, me and Brian, we threw firewood in a truck all day long. Man, Brian said, I don't think I'll be able to get up in the morning. I don't know what to do. We all get up and we came out there getting our coffee, shuffling along. You can't get, you get old, but I'm pretty healthy. There's a lot of people a lot worse off than I am, really, and I don't care how bad you are. There's somebody that's in worse shape than you are probably, but health is a good thing. But here's the problem, and I was talking to Carl, Brian, your dad, yesterday. We were talking about this. I fell off that hoverboard and cracked my ribs. That's another story. Don't ask any dumb questions about that. But I fell off the hoverboard and hurt my ribs, and I realized, how quick I felt like an invalid. I could not yawn without it killing me. I had to bite a stick to get out of the chair. I had to psych myself up. When I did try to lay down and it wouldn't work out because I'd lay down, I'd be in too much pain. I said, I got to get up. But getting up when your core is hurting like that is hard. And I said, man, I'm going to have to get up. And I'd have to think about it. Sometimes I'd start to go and say, no, wait a second. Yeah, one, two. And I'd get up out of there, man. I thought, you know what? Your health can be taken from you so fast. Amen. And then what do you got? What are you going to have, man? What are you going to have? Well, you got the Lord. You got him. That's something. You got to have the Lord. But I'm telling you, we're just one accident away, one heart attack, one stroke, one catching some kind of disease away from having health. That blessing could be taken away. And I'm not saying health's not a blessing. I'm not saying wealth's not a blessing. I'm not saying fame, I don't know. Fame, like I say, we think it'd be a blessing, but I just can't find it. Only reason we think fame would be a blessing because we get the wealth that goes along with being famous, usually. But so we think about that. And we look at them, and like I say, they could be. But listen, and we think about material things. I used to feel guilty about this. And you can go overboard on anything, but I think about it. But don't think that material things are not blessings from God at times. When the Israelites left Egypt, he said they were going to march out of there a certain way. And what happened? All the Egyptians said, here, I can't, this is the act of God. Hey, we're getting ready to leave. We're your slave labor, but we're packing up and leaving. See y'all later. And the Egyptians said, oh, by the way, here's a bunch of gold. Take my earrings and my jewelry. Go ahead and just take it all with you. See y'all later. They're all waving on the edge of the, and they're all leaving. They gave them their gold. That was a blessing from God. When they got to, God wanted to give them the promised land. And he said, I'm going to give you the walled cities. Now, like Harold mentioned, and we know that he had to fight for it, but he said, I'm going to give it to you right there. Caleb, I think he was 85, I want to say. I'm just off the top of my head. Don't hold me to it. Caleb was 85. He said, God, give me this mountain right here. He said, I want this mountain. And God gave it to him. Now, he had to go in there and fight the battle. So I go in and fight it. 85 years old. He had his health. He had his strength. God gave him that mountain right there. And I was thinking the other day, and I thought about it. I said, well, I don't know, man. There's a little piece of land we got our eye on. We're trying to get it, and it's just like it's going to take an act of God to do it because it's a big company, and it's like the IRS. You can't get a hold of who you need to get a hold of. I'm praying about that, but I just didn't want to pray about it and ask God about it. I thought, well, maybe it's kind of selfish, although it's not a waste of money. It's kind of adding to, you know, I don't know. Anyway, the other night I was sitting out there, and I was reading. I looked at one of Harold's books about The Extraordinary Father, I think it was. And he was talking about his family and how they prayed for things and how, you know, for relaxation and that. And they prayed for a boat. And it wasn't long. God gave them a boat. When they all went down the lake and got in, it said the boat was too big. I mean, the boat was too small for the whole family. They could tell it was overloaded. So they just prayed for a bigger boat. And it wasn't long. They got a bigger boat. Now, I'm not one of those think, all right, man, if you pray and ask God, all right, I want to wake up in the morning with a Rolls Royce in the driveway. I'm not saying that's going to happen. I'm just saying if God has a plan. And he said over the years, they have prayed for vehicles that they needed for the ministry and campers that they needed for the ministry, those type of things. They prayed and God had them. And so I told Sherry the other day, you know what, I'm going to start asking God for that land right there. I said, you know what, I mean, I'm going to ask him for it. I believe we can pray. It can be some types of those things can be blessings right there. But, you know, I want to tell you something. It's a blessing and it's also a responsibility. You think about your family, blessing of a home, a family, children, grandchildren. That's a blessing, but with any blessing, there's a responsibility that comes with that. It's a responsibility, and it's a blessing. It's also a responsibility to raise our family, raise our family up in the fear and admonition of the Lord, teach them the Word of God and how to pray and how to serve God. I mean, you know, listen, we want the church to do it, but it's our responsibility. You might think, well, I want children. Boy, it's going to be a blessing to have a bunch of kids. Okay, great. Now you got a responsibility to those children. You do. And then we know about spiritual blessings. Listen, love, joy, peace. Ralph said he can. I know Ralph. And Ralph probably couldn't have got up here a year ago, probably. So what happened? You know, God shed his love abroad in his heart, and he had peace about it and joy. Those things, the spiritual blessings that God gives us. Those are blessings right there. And this is something that Jabez, he just said he wanted some blessings. He named off some things. I think there was more to it than just what he named. So, he said, called on Israel saying, oh, that would bless me indeed. Bless me indeed. That's the title of the message. I mean, really, a blessing indeed. That's a specific blessing. And then he said this. He said, enlarge my coast. Enlarge my coast. That means he prayed for growth. I think it means there's some dual meanings in the Word of God. I think, yeah, enlarge my coast. I think he probably meant maybe with more land. Land was, you had to have it. Your money was cattle and those type things in those days. You needed that to enlarge. I think he wanted his large coast, enlarge his coast. But I think it was for growth in a whole lot of areas in his life. The land would be one, but I think also for spiritual growth. Because here's the thing. And Jabez is a praying man. He's a man, we would say today, wouldn't say it then, but today we'd say, okay, I'm a Christian man. If I want to enlarge my coast, I want to have a bigger sphere of influence. If he had more land, there might be people on that land. He'd have a greater influence than he had. This is a great prayer. You know what, God, you know, enlarge my coast. Make things, I want a greater capacity. Well, I think we have the capacity, but we just don't use the capacity we have. But he said, I want a bigger area of influence in my life. Even if he took land, he would have that. And so, I like old Elisha prayed. He said, God, and I've thought about this prayer before. When Elijah was taken up, he said, God, just give me a double portion of the spirit that he had right there. And he got it. Amen. He got it. When have you ever asked God to give you a double portion of the Holy Spirit that you might have seen on somebody else? Man, I mean, and this is the kind of prayer, I mean, a double portion. That was asking for a spiritual blessing that God answered right there. Jabez might have prayed for more territory because with more territory he had a larger influence and he would have had a responsibility to that influence. But I'm going to tell you what, here's the thing. With some of this, we have to be faithful in what God has given us already. If we have to be faithful in what God has already entrusted us with before we can have him to increase. I read this about churches. Churches cease to become effective, or they lose their effectiveness when they lose their ability to minister to those that they have. You know, if we can't minister to the needs, well, sometimes we say, well, boy, God, I wish we'd just fill up the church. Yeah, it'd be great. But if we can't minister to the people that we have, what would be the point of God adding more people to the church if we can't minister to those needs? And I said, I didn't say me. I mean, I got a limit here, you know. I mean, I'm at my wits end. When I came out of a church where the pastor was in a panic about false doctrine coming in the church, and for that reason, he wouldn't hardly let anybody do anything. He wrote to Sunday school. I mean, wrote them the Sunday school lessons for every Sunday school teacher. He wrote them out, and he tried to do everything, and it hurt him in a way because there's only a limit to what one man can do. I mean, you know what? The church stayed at about 50, 60 people, 70. One time it was up to 80. But, you know, you start getting like that, you got to start delegating out. And he was afraid to do it for another reason. And so if I've got to do it all, this is about what we're going to have. You know, it's when the rest of God's people start saying, hey, I've got an influence. I've got a coast that's been expanded, around me. My coast is expanded, and that coast starts expanding, and we can start meeting people's needs. Then God can add to the church that way, and even add to our coast there. So there's something to think about right there. And ask God to increase your spiritual influence. That's a great prayer right there. As I said a minute ago, you know, sometimes you think, well, I need more of a capacity to God. I think God gave us all the capacity for Him that we need. We have a capacity for God. That's one thing unique about a human versus an animal. We have the capacity for God. I don't think it needs to be any greater. Now, we need to have we need more possession. We need to pray that we could possess more within that capacity. The word complacency, we see that, and we know it, we understand that it's a problem in Christianity today, being complacent. I looked up the definition of complacency means a lack of feeling. And it also means a place of satisfaction. I'm going to tell you what, it's a bad place to get to spiritually when you have a lack of feeling for the things of God. When you're just indifferent, you know, reading the Bible, I can take it or leave it. Coming to church, I can take it or leave it. Praying to God, that is a lack of feeling. There's nothing, you know, the Bible says the effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man, right? That's the kind of praying. I mean, fervency, you know, that doesn't usually describe most of our prayer life. It really doesn't describe most of our spiritual life, being fervent right there. Complacency, what a bad place to get to. There's something to pray yourself out of that right there. One of the things that enlarged my coast, you know, everybody's got a comfort zone. Everybody's got a comfort zone. And Ralph, you got out of it today a little bit. You know, your coast got a little bit bigger today. I didn't know you were going to fit in my illustrations very well. I didn't know about this till this morning. Everybody's got a comfort zone, and we do not want to get outside of it. But you know what? You're going to go out and win somebody to Christ, you're going to have to get out of your comfort zone. You're going to have your coastline just a little bit bigger, you know, just a little bit. If you want to think, oh, hey, listen, when I got saved, I'm going to tell you something. That when I got saved the first year or two, never in a million years did I think I could preach the gospel, that a guy would call me to be a preacher, I'd have laughed you out of the room. No, I never thought that. Never. God enlarged my coast. It got bigger. And see, so to have an enlarged coast, you have to get out of what's comfortable. You know, the same old beaten path. Nothing's going to change. You know, that's just common sense. Nothing's going to change until we get off the path or a different path than the one we're on. You know, we can't pray the same repetitive prayer that we usually pray. The same need, the same old thing, the same expecting, the same result, which is usually nothing. No fervency, no fire, no expectancy. I read an illustration about a man that was during the Revolutionary War. George Washington was at Valley Forge. One of the local farmers went to the camp where the soldiers were. If you know anything about Valley Forge, it was a hard time. The Continental Army was... it was winter. They were starving to death, freezing to death. Looked like defeat. They weren't trained as well. This man went to go see George Washington, and he got near his tent, and he looked in, and George Washington was down on his knees, and he was crying out to God with all his heart and with all his soul. The man turned around, went back home, got back in bed with his wife. He said, "Don't worry about it. We're going to win." She goes, "Well, how do you know we're going to win?" He said, "There's no way that God's not going to answer a prayer prayed like that." He said, "When a man prays like that, God's going to answer that prayer right there." Hey, I don't know if you know it or not, we won. We won. So, you know, God answers the prayer right there. You know, a lot of people, here's another thing, a lot of people sit around waiting for something to happen. You with me here? Sit around just waiting for something to happen. We want somebody else to initiate it. We want a result, but we want somebody else to initiate it so it'll just be like taken care of. Now, sometimes, you know, you got to get out of your comfort zone and be the one that initiates what it is, the change to take place. Jabez was specific. He didn't tell God how to do it, but he did tell God what he wanted. He said, I want you to enlarge my coat. That's it. He didn't say how. He just said, do it. He wanted to rise above, and here's the thing, he wanted to rise above his past. He wanted to rise above the name that he had, that pain. He wanted to get over it and get past it and get on going with God. So, you know, some of us here, we need to do the same thing. You know, we need to enlarge our coast, you know, move, rise above the circumstance, the situation, whatever's happened in the past. We want to do that. The third thing he prayed for God's hand to be with him. Man, it's a great prayer. It's a great prayer. I pray for that every Sunday morning for sure. If God answers the prayer to enlarge your coast, then we're certainly going to need God's hand to be with us in that enlarged coast. See, the average Christian only operates in the realm of his own power, what he thinks he can do. What he thinks he can do. He doesn't even get to the point of what he really could do. He's just in the realm of what he thinks he can do. We operate in the realm of our power, and we're not, instead of going on and getting a little farther and operating in what God could do. And then we have a hard time there because we just can't imagine what God can do because it's above. We could imagine probably farther than we do. Man, you know, we do have to know what our limitations are. We have to understand what our limitations are. We have to pray, and then that should lead us to prayer. You know, Harold preached one of the messages one night, the top 10 fear list that people are afraid of, you know, snakes and heights and different things right there. There's one he didn't mention. And I know why, and this is, we have a struggle right here. There's a fear right here, and pride is the hindrance. Pride is the hindrance. Because pride is not going to let you admit that you have this fear to start with. And it's the fear of depending on somebody else. Man's got to fear that. Man has a fear, I don't want to let nobody else be in control because I'm either afraid it's not going to get done right, it's not going to get done at all, if it's out of my control, what's going to happen? You have to have faith, I'm in a panic. And so what happens is that shifts over to God. We don't want to let God have control. We've got a fear of depending on somebody else. I'm going to tell you something, man. We need God's hand on us. And that's why this is what we usually pray. The reason, and it's because of that right there. We say, God, here's the problem, and this is what I want you to do to fix it. Like he needs our counsel on that. You know, I want you to fix it this way specifically. Instead of just saying, God, here's the problem, I'm going to trust you with the outcome. We don't want to do that because it takes it out of our control. There's a fear there, right there. You know, a baseball in my hand is only worth about $5, whatever baseball, good baseball card. A baseball in Steven Strasburg's hand is worth about $38 million. The hand makes all the difference right there. Huh? A golf club in Hank Alderman's hands is worthless. A golf club in Tiger Woods' hands is worth millions. A rod, a staff, in our hands might help us walk. But in Moses' hands, he parted the Red Sea. He parted an obstacle in his way, an impossible obstacle in his way. I like that story about, I'll tell you this, and maybe y'all remember it, some of you. It was a little kid riding on a bus, and he was reading in the Bible. And he said, oh, man, that's really exciting. Whoa, wow, that's unbelievable. And some skeptical guy beside him said, what are you reading in there? He said, man, I'm reading in here where God parted, through Moses, he parted the Red Sea and all the Israelites went through on dry ground. He said, man, get out of here. He said, that didn't happen. He goes, really what it was, the Red Sea was only like 6 inches deep. Kid said, Got to reading his Bible a little bit farther. He said, wow, man, that's unreal. The guy said, what are you reading now? He said, God drowned the whole Egyptian army in 6 inches of water. I mean, that's, you know what? But God took his rod there, and it might just help us in one way, but in Moses' hands, it became something else. Two fish and five loaves in my hands is a couple of sandwiches. In Jesus' hands, it fed a multitude. The hand made all the difference. We need the hand of God on our life, no matter what you do. No matter what you do. And then the last thing. He prayed to keep him from evil. I got one little verse. I'm almost done. Bear with me. In Isaiah 43, for sake of time, I'll just read it to you. Isaiah 43, 1-3. The Bible says, but now thus saith the Lord that created thee, O Jacob, and he that formed thee, O Israel, fear not, for I have redeemed thee. I have called thee by thy name. Thou art mine. When thou passest through the water, I will be with thee. And through the rivers, they shall not overflow thee. When thou walkest through the fire, thou shalt not be burned, neither shall the flame kindle upon thee. For I am the Lord thy God, the Holy One of Israel, thy Savior. I mean, man, that's a confirmation from God right there. He said, my hand, I'm going to protect you. When God's hand is with us, yeah, he will keep us from evil. The Bible says Jabez was more honorable than his brethren because he prayed to God. He asked God for a best blessing. He asked God for spiritual growth. He asked God, you know, in that sense, to get out of his comfort zone, out of that self-imposed tomb. And I'm going to tell you what, a lot of us have put ourselves in a tomb. Bound up by grave clothes, we're in this tomb. It might be a circumstance, a situation you think you can't get out of. But I'm going to tell you what, Lazarus was dead as dead can be. He was in the tomb. I mean, there wasn't no doubt he wasn't in a swoon. Man, they knew what dead people looked like in those days. He wasn't in a swoon. He hadn't passed out because of the heat. He was dead. It's an impossible situation. And Jesus came on the scene. He said, Lazarus, come forth. And he came out and he said, take him grave clothes off of him. He come up out of that tomb. And I think God's calling us out of a tomb, whether it be self-imposed or not. He's calling us out of the tomb of indifference and coldness and deadness and circumstances, situations and trials and storms. God calls us out of those. Out of those things. He said, come on out. He said, because I'm going to tell you, if God's hand's with me, it don't matter. Go in the fiery furnace, go in the tomb, it doesn't matter. God's hand with me, it makes all the difference in the world. What's your prayer today? What are you praying for today? What you need today? Listen, man, Jabez prayed to God because he had faith in God. You know, that's the very first step, is having faith in God, putting your trust in God. The very step is just calling on God to be saved. I know this wasn't a big evangelistic message, but that's the very first step. And say, hey, you know, Ralph gave a testimony. That was a good evangelistic testimony. Amen. Ralph gave a testimony about what God's done in life, what God's doing in your life. God can do the same thing in your life. Let's come. Paul, you come. And